Good afternoon, everyone. We're here from Partick Free Church of Scotland, continuing. And it's good to be able to come out in the open air and to bring you something from God's Word this afternoon. We meet at 2 Thornwood Terrace. That's just opposite the police station on Dumbarton Road, up the hill, and we're just beside the primary school, Thornwood Primary School. And we would give you a warm welcome to come and join with us. We meet on Sunday, the Lord's Day. We meet at 11 a.m. And again, we meet at 6:30 p.m. in the evening. We also meet on Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. And we give you a warm welcome to come along and to hear something more concerning the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're out in the open air this afternoon, taking this opportunity to be able to pass on some information regarding Christianity, because you will admit that there is widespread ignorance regarding Christianity and what it is. And this ignorance is mainly because most people today do not go to the house of God. Most people do not attend a place of worship. And therefore, because of that, most people are really ignorant about the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you will have, no doubt, you will have questions about life. In your quieter moments, when you're not busy, when you're not occupied, you might begin to think about life. You might begin to think about this creation here that's all around us, this world, this universe. And you may ask yourself, indeed, where did this come from? And you may well ask yourself, where have I come from? Is there any purpose in life whatsoever? Because the current philosophy today is that there's really no point in life whatsoever. But the Bible tells us there is point in life. There is a purpose in life. And you'll ask yourselves questions like, where am I going? You will acknowledge that there will be times in your busy schedule that you will think to yourself, what's going to happen to me when I die? Yes, you may well be young and you may well be fit at the moment, and you might not like to consider the fact that one day you will die. But you will think on these things and you will want an answer to these questions and other questions that you have. Where will you find the answer? Well, we can confidently tell you, you will find the answers to these most basic and serious questions. You'll find them only in the Bible. You'll find them only in the Bible, which is God's Word. Now, many of you maybe are thinking to yourself that the Bible's an old book. And why are we going to listen to an old book that was written many thousands of years ago? Why are we going to listen to this book? But I challenge you, friends, and I ask you to consider this. The things that the Bible speaks about are very real and contemporary. They are the same kind of issues that faces us every day. They are bang up to date. The questions that I've already said that you'll ask yourself, you'll find answers to in the Bible. And in the Bible, you will find how to live. You will find God's moral code. You will find the Ten Commandments. And you will find that these Ten Commandments are very, very contemporary. They're bang up to date. And therefore, the Bible, although it was written many, many years ago, we acknowledge, yet, nevertheless, the matters that it brings to our attention are bang up to date. They are in our modern society. We could think of the sin of adultery. What do we find that? We find that in the seventh commandment. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That was written many, many years ago. But that commandment is real and relevant today because we live in a day and a generation when adultery is common. It is common. And all kinds of sexual sins are common. Yet the Bible addresses these things. This old book that I hold here talks about these things and tells us how we are to live our life. Now the Bible makes it abundantly clear that this world, this universe, the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, has a creator. The Bible, the very first verse in the Bible tells us, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It does not make any apology. It does not try to prove the reality of God. It knows that you know that God lives and exists. God has given you that knowledge. You are made in the image of God, and part of that image tells us that we know that the God of the Bible exists, and He is the one who has made the heaven and the earth. In the beginning. What beginning? The very beginning of time. God was there. What does that teach us? It teaches us the God with whom we have to do with is not in time, in the sense that He is eternal. Absolutely eternal. God alone is eternal. This world, this vast and glorious creation, the sun, the moon, the stars, everything had a beginning. But before that beginning, God is. And therefore, it's vitally important that we realize that the God with whom we have to do with is an eternal God. A God who has no beginning. And therefore, because He has no beginning, He will have no end. You and I had a beginning. At conception, we began. But because we're made in the image of God, even when we die, we will not cease to exist. This is what the atheists and the humanists will try to tell us. They will try to tell us that life is just what we have today. Life is simply what we have here upon this earth. And when we die, we're finished. It's all over. There's no life after death. The Bible does not support that view at all. The Bible makes it clear to us that once we have been created, we have an eternal soul that will live forever. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The Lord Jesus said, reminding us that the soul that you have, is absolutely priceless. And although you might be able to get everything that this world can give you, it would never match the value of your souls. Because, friends, your soul shall live forever. Now I want to ask you today, where will your soul live? If it will live forever, where will it live? The Bible makes it clear. Again, there is clarity on this point. The Bible makes it clear that after we die, our souls return to God, and what happens? God will judge us. And we will either go to live with Him in heaven and in glory, or we shall go to that place that has been prepared for the devil and his angels, which is called hell. And therefore, it's a very stark choice. There are no other places. We know that some so-called churches like to believe in a place called purgatory, but there's no biblical evidence to support that at all. When we die, we will either go to heaven to be with Christ, to be with the angels, to be with all people, to be with God and to enjoy glory for all eternity, or We shall go to that dreadful, terrible place that has not been prepared for us, but has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Now I want to ask you, friends, where are you going? This is one of the tracts that we're handing out this afternoon. We're asking this question of you, as you must ask yourself, where am I going? Where am I going? Well, we're here this afternoon to tell you there's a way to heaven. You know, we need to write a tract with this message, or with this title. Do you know the way to heaven from Glasgow? Do you know the way to heaven from Glasgow? You know, I once asked a Jehovah Witness this. I saw a Jehovah Witness and they were walking about the street, and I asked them, do you know the way to heaven? And you know what he did? He pointed up. Well, friends, that is nonsense. Absolute nonsense. The Bible tells us the way to heaven. Jesus tells us, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If we're ever going to get to glory, if we're ever going to be in heaven, the only way we will get there is through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's through believing upon Him. It's through receiving Him. It's through trusting upon Him. It's through following Him. It's upon relying upon Him only. That's the way to heaven. And if you're in Glasgow, or if you're in Edinburgh, or if you're in any part of the world, it's the same message you'll get. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You'll find that in John chapter 14, verse 6. Look it up yourself. I'm not making it up. And you know, friends, the Acts of the Apostles tell us that when the apostles went out and they preached the gospel to all the known world, obeying the commission of the Lord Jesus, do you know what it said of them? Do you know what the Apostle Peter said? Neither is there salvation found in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name. No other name. No other religion. No other person. It doesn't matter who you are or what you are. It doesn't matter what the religion you follow. If you're not following the Lord Jesus, you will perish. That's why we're here. We want to tell you about this glorious person, this one who came down from heaven to seek and to save that which was lost. And is this not your problem this afternoon? Is this not your problem? Have we not hit the problem right? As they say, the nail on the head. Your problem is you don't realize you're lost. You're lost. How am I lost, minister? I'm feeling fine, I'm fit, I'm happy, I'm relatively wealthy, I've got a job, I've got a family, I've got a flat, I've got a property, I've got all the things the world can give to me. Why do you say I'm lost? Well, I tell you you're lost because the Bible says you're lost. How are you lost? You're lost because you're dead in one sense. How am I dead, you're saying to me. I'm alive and well, minister. How can I possibly be dead? You're dead in trespasses and sins. You're dead in this sense. You're dead in that you do not have the life of God in you. You do not have love towards the Lord your God. And in that sense, you're dead. And you're lost. And you're perishing. And you're on the broad road that leads to destruction. This may alarm you. Well, friends, it must alarm you. Because that's the Bible's verdict on your life. If you don't have Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you're not following Him, then you're on that wide and that broad road. And where does it lead to? It leads to destruction. You know, the Bible talks about there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is death. And maybe there's some here this afternoon and they're seeing this preacher here trying to bring something of the good news of Christ to you. And you're saying to yourself, Well, that man really doesn't know what he's talking about. He's been a bit alarmist. And I don't agree with his way. I don't agree with his message. It cannot be right. There must be another way to get right with God. There must be another way to get to heaven. Surely it cannot just be one way. The Bible says, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. And the way that I'm expounding to you this afternoon is not my way. It's not the way that I've invented. It's not the way of the church. It's the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. What we're talking about here, friends, is a religion that has been revealed to us. It's a religion that has come down from heaven. This is one of the unique marks of Christianity. What is it? It's a fact that this religion that we explain and proclaim is a religion that has come down from heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ, the eternally begotten Son of God, has come down from heaven. No other religion can claim this. We know there are a tremendous amount of religions, and we are getting more and more religions every day. And all of them are the same in the sense that it's mankind trying to work their way to God. Christianity is totally different. It is absolutely unique. It is God moving in His Son, the Lord Jesus, to bring about salvation. You may well be familiar with that well-known verse in John chapter 3, verse 16. You may well be ignorant of many parts of the Bible, but you've heard this verse before. What does it say? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that verse is reminding us that God so loved the world that He did something about it. God loved not just in word, but God loved in deed. He did something about man's plight and need. And what was man's plight and need? Man's plight and man's need is the fact that he is a sinner, that he's a rebel against God, and God has done something wonderful and glorifying to rectify that problem. And here, if you like, friends, is your problem and my problem in a nutshell. We are sinners in the sight of God. The Bible says it. It doesn't flatter us. You'll never get proud, friends, if you really read the Bible and follow what it tells you. What does it say? What does Romans chapter 3, verse 23 say? What does it say? For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short